This is a reading of the Agriculture Course by Rudolf Steiner. This is the third discussion given right after the sixth lecture in Kobervitz, Saturday, June 14th, 1924. Question: can the method you suggested for nematodes also be applied to other insects? I mean, to any kind of pest? Is it really permissible to use these methods to go ahead and destroy plant and animal life over large areas without any misgivings? Serious abuses could arise. Surely some kind of limit needs to be set so that someone can't just spread destruction all over the globe. Dr. Steiner: well, with regard to its being permissible, just imagine if it weren't. I want to leave aside for the moment the ethical question, the issue of occult ethics. What would happen in that case, as I have already indicated, is that agriculture in the civilized regions of the world would become worse and worse, and near famine and high prices would cease to be isolated local phenomena and become the general rule. This will happen in the not too distant future. So our only options are either to let civilization go to ruin, or to try to do things in such a way that a new fertility can come about. Faced with this need, we don't really have the option of debating whether these things are permissible or not. Nevertheless, from a different point of view, this question is quite valid. It's important to think about how to create some kind of safety valve against abuse. If these things have become common knowledge, of course, they could be abused. That is obvious. Still, I would like to point out that there were long epochs of civilization where things like this were known and very widely practiced, and yet it was possible to restrict access to responsible sectors of humanity so that they were not abused. Serious abuses of these things did occur back at a time when much more severe abuses were possible due to the fact that the forces in question were active more widely. That was the case during the later periods of the Atlantean evolution, where serious abuse did indeed take place, leading to tremendous catastrophes. On a general level, I can only say the following. It is certainly justifiable to limit knowledge of these things to a restricted circle, to not let it become generally available. But in this day and age, this is almost impossible. Knowledge can't be kept within small groups nowadays. They invariably tend to let it out in one way or another. Before the invention of the printing press, it was easier, and it was easier still when most people did not know how to write. But now, whenever you give a lecture, no matter how small the audience, the issue of where to find a stenographer always comes up. Indeed, I never like to see stenographers. I have had to get used to them. But it would be better if they were not there. I mean, as stenographers, of course, not as people. But on the other hand, do we not also have to reckon with something else, namely with the necessity of moral improvement in all aspects of human life? That would be the panacea. Admittedly, if you look at certain contemporary phenomena, there is reason to be pessimistic. But with regard to moral improvement, this should never lead us to become mere spectators. We should have thoughts that are filled with impulses of will, and we should always be looking for what we can do to raise the general level of human morality. This too could flow from anthroposophy, and a circle such as we have discussed could certainly act as a kind of remedy against such abuses. In nature, too, it is certainly the case that good things can become harmful. Just think, if we didn't have the lunar forces down there, then we also couldn't have them up here. But they must be active here. It's just that something that is eminently desirable and necessary in one place may be harmful somewhere else. What is moral on one level may be decidedly immoral on another. The Ahrimanic influence in the sphere of the earth is only harmful because of where it is. When it works in a sphere that is only slightly higher, its effect is definitely beneficial. But to answer your first question, you are right. The method I indicated for nematodes applies to insects in general, to all the lower animals, which are largely characterized by a ventral nerve cord instead of a spinal cord. Where there is a spinal cord, you need to skin the animal. Where there is a ventral cord, you need to burn the whole animal. Question: did you mean the wild chamomile? Dr. Steiner: this chamomile The one that has petals turned down like this. It's a drawing. It has petals directed downward rather than upward. The Camomilla officinalis that grows wild by the roadside. Question. Should we use the flowers of the stinging nettle? Rudolf Steiner. Yes, but take the leaves too. Take the whole plant when it's in flower, but not the roots. Question. Can we use the dog chamomile? Hundskamille? Or maybe it's Hundskamilla, that grows in the fields? Dr. Steiner, that kind is closer to the right one than the garden chamomile that's being passed around. Don't use that one. But the one you refer to, which is also used for chamomile tea, is much more closely related than this one here. You could use that one. Question. The chamomile that grows along the railroad track here is the one you mean, isn't it? Dr. Steiner, yes, that's the right one. Question. Does what you said about destroying weeds also apply to aquatic weeds, such as waterweed? Dr. Steiner. It also applies to things that come from the swamp or the water, also to the aquatic weeds. What you do in this case is simply sprinkle the pepper on the banks. Question. Can the methods used against above-ground parasites also be used against underground parasites, against cabbage, clubroot, for instance? Dr. Steiner. Absolutely. Question. Can these methods for alleviating plant diseases be applied to vineyards too? Dr. Steiner. I can only say that I am convinced that the vineyards could have been protected if people had gone about it in the way I have indicated. It has not been tried out yet, however. Little occult research has been done in this area, also not by me. Question. What about downy mildew? Dr. Steiner. That can be treated just like any other blight. Question. Is it actually right for us as anthroposophists to resuscitate the production of grapes for wine? Dr. Steiner. In many instances today, all anthroposophy can do is point out how things are. The question of how things ought to be is a difficult one nowadays. I once had a good anthroposophical friend who had extensive vineyards, but who used a sizable share of the annual profits from them, not a huge share, but a good-sized one, to send out postcards all over the world, advocating abstinence. On the other hand, I also had a friend who was a strict teetotaler, who was very generous to the anthroposophical movement throughout his life, but who was also responsible for all those posters on the streetcars advertising Sternberger Kabinett, a fancy wine. That's where the practical questions get tricky. Certain things are not possible nowadays. That's why I said we should certainly take cow horns and use them, but that to become bullheaded in our opposition to various things could be very harmful to the cause of anthroposophy. Question. Couldn't something else be substituted for the stag bladder? Dr. Steiner. It is true that stag bladders may be hard to get, but a lot of difficult things get done in this world. Of course, you could experiment and see whether the stag bladder could be replaced by something else. I can't say at the moment. It is entirely possible that somewhere there is another suitable kind of animal, perhaps indigenous to some corner of Australia. That's possible, but among the animals native to Europe, I cannot think of anything else. And it couldn't possibly be anything other than an animal bladder. I wouldn't recommend that you immediately start looking for substitutes. Question. Is the constellation always the same when it comes to getting rid of insects? Dr. Steiner, that is something that has to be tried out. As I said, the whole sequence, from the waterman through the crab, would need to be considered. And the constellation may vary significantly among the different lower animals. You will have to try it out. Question. With regard to getting rid of field mice, did you mean Venus in the astronomical sense? Dr. Steiner, yes, the one we call the evening star. Question. What did you mean by, quote, when Venus is in the scorpion, unquote? Dr. Steiner. That means any time when Venus is visible in the sky with the constellation of the scorpion in the background. Venus has to be behind the sun. Question. When the upper parts of potato plants are burned, does this affect the growth of the potatoes? Dr. Steiner. The effect is so slight that you can disregard it. There is some effect, there is always an effect of some kind, whenever you do anything with any organic remains, and it affects the entire field, not just the individual plants. But in this case it is so slight that for practical purposes it can be disregarded. Question: what did you mean by mesentery? Dr. Steiner: I mean the peritoneum. Peritoneum. To my knowledge, the mesentery means the peritoneum. Question: is that the same as tripe? Dr. Steiner: no, it's not. It's the peritoneum. Question: how should we distribute the ashes over the fields? Dr. Steiner: you can take what I said quite literally. It is just like sprinkling pepper. It has such a wide radius of activity that it's enough if you simply walk over the fields and sprinkle it around, like so. Question: do the preparations work on fruit trees in the same way? Dr. Steiner: in general, everything I have said up to now may also be applied to fruit crops. There are a few other things still to consider, but I will tell you about them tomorrow. Question: in farming, we usually apply the barn manure to the root crops. Is the prepared manure the right thing also for the grains, or do they require some special treatment? Dr. Steiner: for the time being, you can go on manuring as usual. It's only a matter of supplementing this with the things I've described. With regard to things I haven't touched on, don't immediately assume they're all bad and that you have to completely change them. Things that have stood the test of time should be continued, and what I have indicated should only be added. I should just mention, however, that the effect of what I've indicated will be considerably modified if you use manure that includes a lot of sheep or pig manure. The effect will be much less striking if you use too much sheep and pig manure. Question: how is it when inorganic... Question: how is it when inorganic fertilizers are used? Dr. Steiner: people will discover that this business of using inorganic fertilizers is something that must eventually stop altogether. Any mineral fertilizer gradually reduces the nutritive value of whatever is grown on the fields where it is used. That is a completely general law. Just the measures I have indicated, however, if you now carry them out, will make it unnecessary to manure more than once every 3 years. Perhaps you will need to do it every 4 to 6 years. You will be able to do without artificial fertilizers altogether, if only because they will become an unnecessary expense. Artificial fertilizer is something that won't be needed anymore, so in time it will disappear again. Nowadays we take into account much too short spans of time. In a recent discussion on beekeeping, for instance, an up-to-date beekeeper came out all in favor of breeding queens industrially, of selling the queens and distributing them widely, rather than having the individual beekeepers raise them themselves. I had to say, of course you are correct, but if not in 30 or 40 years, then certainly in 40 or 50 years you will find that this has ruined beekeeping. That is why these things have to be taken into account. Everything is being mechanized and mineralized nowadays, but the fact is that what is mineral should work only in the way it does in nature. Unless you incorporate it into something else, you shouldn't introduce anything that is mineral or totally lifeless into the living soil. This will not be feasible by tomorrow, but by the day after tomorrow it will certainly become a matter of course. Question: how should we catch the insects? Could they be used in the larval stage? Dr. Steiner: with the insects, you can use both the larva and the adults, but the constellation may change. As you go from the winged stage to the larva, you will need to move from waterman toward the crab. The right constellation for the mature insects will be closer to the waterman. That is the end of the third discussion.